had the opportunity to bring the joy of sports to a pile of atheists last week, and I made them like it.
You were spreading the good word.
I was, and I'm not even a sport I like. Ah, it's football. Oh, football's terrible.
Let me get an amen.
Oh, man, that Super Bowl, that was something else. I mean, I
love it, but at the same time, oh, man, it hurt. It hurt to watch. Like, even watching on the winning side, I've been on the losing side of that game. That hurts to watch.
Well, the first quarter, we were still at the station when it was happening, so I missed the hike that they just sort of decided that they would throw into the crowd, because what the heck, it's a Super Bowl.
Sure, why not?
And it's like, man, if I had been watching that, and that was the opening of the Super Bowl, I'd be like, crap, is Matlock on anywhere? Click, click, click. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. As usual, my name is Sam, and with me today is Dave. How are you?
Wonderful, and champions!
Yeah, I knew I was going to hear that. One of the reasons you didn't hear a lot of people last week is they were all watching that happen. And joining us for the first time is Rebecca Witzman. How are you today?
Doing well. Hello.
Hello. If that name sounds familiar to you, there's a pretty good reason. Bad things happened in 2013.
If you just Google Oklahoma atheist, you're gonna hit. Yeah. maybe a few.
Which I was really happy for that, because it gave me an opportunity to use like material I have about Wolf Blitzer that I normally don't use. Like I said, yeah, it's the atheist who Wolf Blitzer was being weird at, which means that Rebecca Witzman was in the proximity of Wolf Blitzer. But you said he was actually a nice guy.
He's very sweet. He's like an old grandpa. He really was. He let me nurse Anders in his car. You know, it's just stuff you wouldn't picture whenever you just see him on the news.
And we met on when we did the two oil change tour. Yep. And you said that you were thinking about moving to the Pacific Northwest.
That's right.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
That's right. I live here now.
Yeah. Yay. How are you liking the snow?
It's wonderful.
Really? Okay.
We had way more snow out in Oklahoma, so.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. It gets cold enough for snow there. I just assume because it's south of Chicago.
I think we got 19 inches on the ground.
Geez. Yeah, that's
awful.
Yeah, that's actually a bit what I'm used to. And for those of you back home, it's like, oh, we got 4 inches of snow last night. And you're like, oh, 4 inches of snow. That's nothing. Blah. Okay, try 4 inches of snow when your house is on a 20-degree grade hill. Tell me how little that 4 inches of snow is now. Yeah. In fact, call me and tell me how little that is. 253-584-1480. We're taking calls the entire hour, in fact, because we are live.
Exciting.
And exciting. Oh, man, I almost did the Love Boat theme. Anyway, not doing that. I'm a little tired. So we have some really interesting news. So the ACLU is filing suit against the Louisiana School District. The ACLU recently filed a lawsuit against a public school district in Sabine Parish, Louisiana. I keep wanting to go to Los Angeles because it's, contending that school employees harassed a sixth grader for not adhering to Christianity. The student, known by his initial CC in the suit, is a Buddhist of Thai descent. Sixth grade teacher Rita Rourke allegedly called Buddhism stupid during a comparative religious discussion, told students that the Bible is completely factual, asserted that God created the earth about 6,000 years ago, and claimed that evolution is not possible. She made fun of CC in front of the class for incorrectly answering the question, "Isn't it amazing what the blank has made?" !
Subtle.
Yeah. Which appeared on a science test. When CC's parents complained about these and other incidents, including the Bible verses scrolling along the school's electronic marquee, the superintendent advised that they enroll their child at a school 25 miles away where there were more Asians. Okay, I'm going to call you Becca, so we don't get... Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay, so Becca, you've actually spent some time in Louisiana, right?
Tremendous amount of time. I grew up there.
Okay.
And I went to school there.
So,
I will say that this is not representative of my own personal education in Louisiana, but I didn't really grow up in the backwoods of Louisiana, and I understand that this school is in...
Middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere.
Okay.
Kind of near Manny. If you're from Louisiana, you know where Manny is.
It's spelled... Not a clue.
M-A-N-Y.
Oh, okay.
Manny.
And it's Manny.
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 Yeah. And I'm assuming the school 25 miles away is probably in Natchitoches. You know, you bring me on the show and then you make my blood boil.
Yeah.
You know?
Welcome. This is what we do.
it's so upsetting whenever you see something like this, especially as a parent, because every single teacher, every single one of them is charged with the duty of keeping the safety of their children in mind.
Right.
They're supposed to be caring for these students, taking care of them, making sure that they aren't bullied and things like this. And in this circumstance, the teacher is the bully.
Yeah.
She is sitting there singling out a child and basically pointing at him and saying, like, look at that child. Isn't he stupid? Everybody. And then she's not only doing it, but she's modeling the behavior that these other students should have towards other religions.
Right.
And it's shocking, especially when this is a publicly funded system. It's a
public school.
It's a public school.
And
it's absolutely unconstitutional for her to be behaving in this manner. And it's not just her, because her school backed her up.
Her school backed her up all the way up to the superintendent of schools of that district.
The superintendent literally said, or I can't remember the superintendent or the principal, but said, you're in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
As though that is some blanket thing that makes completely ignoring the law okay.
Like there's some sort of special rule for Bible Belt stuff.
You know, if they were to move up here and for some reason their child was going to a school and a teacher was an atheist.
Yeah.
And she decided that she was going to single out a child who was Christian and start doing this, they would be up in arms. Rightfully so.
Right.
Because if I was to do that to a child that I was taking care of and had taken under my charge in a public institution, I would be in the wrong.
Right.
And I recognize that.
Or correct, rather. Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible because usually we hear stories about this, and it's someone trying to sneak religion under the radar, which, you know, something real subtle. This one, oh my God, it is right out there on the test. It says, isn't it amazing? The answer is what the Lord has made. I mean, this is incredible, and it's offensive, and I can't believe that this never even came up before.
Yeah. Like,
how did it get to this point?
I think it has to do probably with the statistics behind the school district itself.
Yeah.
You know, this child is probably in a major minority, not just, mm-hmm. you know, a 20%, 80% or something like that. It's probably closer to 99%.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because there is a child involved in this situation, and that child is being put into a situation where, I mean, it's just straight up bullying.
And
I don't understand why that can't even be prosecuted.
Despite what a lot of people in this scenario think, and despite about what a lot of people who run schools think, this is a child in America. The child has rights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Including freedom of expression and freedom of religion, and freedom from religion, by the way. And I hate that we have to make that separation. Mm-hmm. But freedom of thought, and no, go somewhere where there, yeah, where yeah. where there are more brown people. What? Nah. Yeah, it's one of those. And keeping that going forward. Wait, you want to say something else?
What the word that just popped into my mind is this: it seems abusive.
It is abusive.
It's absolutely abusive.
It is.
It's not just like abuse.
No,
it's just full-fledged abuse.
It's in fact abuse on three different levels here. I mean, you've got abuse of power,
yeah.
In that these teachers and the superintendent have authority over this child. It's abuse of government funding. These people are being paid not just by people in Louisiana's tax dollars, but our tax dollars too, because schools receive federal funding. And then it's oh, man. And what was the third one?
Well, and there's also the level of authority.
Oh, just the abuse of the child. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the authority. I mean, this is a sixth grade kid. He's never going to question his teacher. He's never going to feel that he has the right to stand up to
never
authority.
Well, I don't think that he necessarily isn't going to question, but maybe not stand up to her, but instead feel like he has to be silenced. Like, now he can't say what he thinks, or he feels like what he's thinking is wrong. It also forms a problem between him and his own collective in-group, you know, his parents, you know, and I don't feel like it's any teacher's responsibility to go and try to form a break.
I think it's okay to question what your teacher is saying, but when you violate trust like this, it's going to be difficult to actually educate a kid at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I can't trust anything this teacher's saying because they think everything...
Well, it's any type of abuse.
Exactly.
Once you've broken that trust that they have, why would they...
And because of this, and because of a lot of things that have been happening even locally that I will be talking about at some point, I'm no longer... I don't want to be hands-off about education anymore. I want... look, if you're a high schooler and you're in the Tacoma area, you're somewhere in the South Sound, get and you want to start like a free thought group or an SSA affiliate and you want some outside help, go to our website, askanatheist.tv. Let me know. I'm ready. I want to do this. I want to see more of this. The only way we're going to be able to play to sit at the table with everybody else is to show them that we're here too, and we have the same rights that I do, and that maybe, you know, that they do. And then if I go to schools and then write a pop quiz about Mithras, you know, Mithras and how everything this and it corresponds to Jesus, and that's why Jesus doesn't exist, and you're going to get outraged? Exactly. Imagine how I feel. Speaking of which, there's another news from, somehow it's also from the Southeast. This is another monument debacle. County commissioners have denied an atheist monument next to another Ten Commandments monument in Levy County, Florida courthouse. According to County Coordinator Fred Moody in an interview on WCJB-TV, the application was denied because the application was not complete and did not meet all of the guidelines. In this case, the county has an apparent requirement because the monument includes incomplete quotes from people, including Madeline Marie O'Hare and Thomas Jefferson. Ray Sparrow of Williston Atheist says that the incomplete application is an excuse to placate the majority religious community that opposes it. Williston Atheist intends to continue fighting for its inclusion.
Yeah, Ray Sparrow's right about this. I mean, this is just excuse making. I mean, it's cheap political crap just to try and get away with putting their religious privilege up.
Well, I don't disagree that is, you know, the means to the end. I don't think that it's wrong for them to try and go by the guidelines. If I was to submit a loan application, they would go through it, and if there was something that didn't meet the application standards, then they'd throw it back at me and say, fill out that line. But
right.
if they had fully complied with all of it, I'm sure that they would still try to look for...
What constitutes a partial quote in this case? Because, I mean, isn't the Ten Commandments a partial quote of whatever book of the Bible that it appears in, or in fact a Bible? If you quote somebody, by definition, unless you include everything they say from birth to death, it's a subset. And if you can make that monument happen, I'd like to see it. But I think that this... in fact, let's start a betting pool right now. What do you think the over-under is on this guideline being passed immediately after the atheist bench went up in Stark County?
Oh, I would put it under a week.
That's not a bet I would take.
Yeah, okay. That's because this is how politicking works at the local level. Somebody sees something nearby that they don't like, so they pass a law that looks general on its face, but specifically is written to prevent an exact thing from happening.
That would be a good thing to look up.
And when they say something specific and make it general, that means they're not discriminatory. So how can you do that? States rights, states rights, you know, states rights, uber alles. You know, it's that is what this is. This is a law designed to let people, or a guideline designed to let people out, to keep people out.
And it's honestly more subtle than I would expect out of something like this. Usually I would expect something where they would say, no more monuments, anything that's already there is grandfathered in.
That they can't do, because then it becomes a level of discrimination. They just wait for all the monuments they want, and they say, no more monuments. What we want as atheists is just to say, no monuments, full stop.
Oh, right, now they start with no benches.
Yeah, no benches.
No benches at all.
You cannot sit on a monument, or a monument cannot be made for sitting on. And I actually think I really like the bench thing. And yeah. I talked about caring, I don't really care what people do with my body once I'm dead, but...
I agree with that.
Yeah. Mike had that conversation. And there's actually this whole story that my family had back home, is that they were going to get like a family plot, and somebody was going to get like a refreshment stand and a couch and a TV, and they would just sort of turn it into like watching television.
Place to hang out.
Yeah, at the graveyard. Because, you know, when you're bored and you want to watch Matlock again, I'm not finishing that because that gets a little creepy. Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And speaking of creepy, a dead pope's blood has been stolen and recovered. A relic containing drops of late Pope John Paul II's blood was stolen but recovered in Italy. Italian police had speculated the thieves were either drug addicts or individuals seeking to use the relic for satanic rites. The relic was a bit of cloth from the clothing of the pontiff that he had been wearing when a would-be assassin shot the pope in 1981.
Is there anything creepier than the idea of relics?
Like John the Baptist's toe, I think. Isn't that somewhere?
Somebody's hand, some saint's hand is in the church. It's just like, just bury it.
We've got some, Mary Magdalene's dandruff in the cornerstone of this church, and that makes it holy or something. I don't even know where to go with this.
My poor brain is just hurting right here. All I keep thinking about is like giving birth.
what I love is that you're a police person near the Vatican. Whatevs. Okay, and somebody steals a relic that has blood on it, and you're of John Paul II, and your first thought is, oh, must be satanic rites, and not eBay.
Yeah, like...
Well, I'm sure the Satanists were kicking themselves. They were like, oh man!
We lost such an opportunity!
That was such a good idea!
Especially when you look at the police in Rome. Like, you think they'd be used to working with artifacts, working with art pieces, with things that will get stolen and sold...
Yeah, I mean, have any of them seen Indiana Jones? Yeah,
that's exactly.
It belongs in a museum. John Paul's scabby Band-Aid belongs in a museum? Really? Is that...
It may belong in a church, but I'm saying, like, why do the police start with satanic ritual and not, here is an artifact that somebody would actually probably pay a decent amount of money for.
Yeah, like, well, there you go.
The simplest of motives here. Mm. Let's apply Occam's razor.
Rituals or money.
Actually, I think Satanists in Italy near the Vatican would make a pretty good, action film. I bet Nick Cage would be in it. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we come back, we're not going to talk about the Super Bowl, but we're going to talk about somebody really losing.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at Radio Versus the Martians.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Psst. Hey, I know that we all slip up sometimes, but not knowing your STD status at all, not a smart move. Did you know that STDs can even be transmitted through oral sex alone? Yeah, worried yet? With STDHomeTestKit.com, everything you need is shipped to you, or you'll have results in the comfort of your own home in less than 10 minutes. Be certain of your status with STDHomeTestKit.com.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we have another live show coming up next month. They're doing a live recording at the campus of Tacoma Community College again on Thursday, March 6th. If you're in the area, we encourage you to join us for the show and hopefully some drinks and conversation afterwards. Thanks to the TCC Science and Inquiry Club for setting this up. I really liked doing the show there. We did it actually just about a year ago. And as you may have figured out from the tour and stuff, I actually really like doing the show in front of an audience. Yeah. It's weird.
And it's a great crowd there. It's the Scientific Inquiry Club.
Science and Inquiry
Club. Science and Inquiry Club.
They used to call themselves the Muggles, but nobody got that. So
really? Oh, well, that's disappointing.
I don't know anything about Harry Potter, except that was a thing.
It was a thing.
Like, because what happens, oh, yeah, we're the Muggles. I'm like, oh, I don't even, what is this? I'm 12, and what is this? And they said, no, it's a Harry Potter thing. I'm like, okay, fine. We're going to also be having secular musician Roy Zimmerman joining us on the show on February 23rd here in the studio for another, I think it'll be another musical episode. I like those.
We're excited about that.
Always get to bring out my fun audio equipment for that. Followed by hopefully a live performance with our post show. We don't have a location locked down yet, but keep an eye on the Facebook page and on the website at askanatheist.tv for details. And then finally, we would like to thank Thomas from College Park, Maryland, for meeting Peggy's challenge. Thank you very much for helping keep the lights on. Remember, every dollar that goes to Peggy's challenge goes directly towards show production. None of us get paid for this. And if you would like to participate, go to askanatheist.tv, click on the shiny candy-like yellow button, and it'll take you directly to our PayPal. So, we opened up this show with a horrible, horrible pounding on television. And I think we're going to talk about that a little bit in the middle of the show with the thing that everybody's been talking about, the Ken Ham, Bill Nye debate.
Quote, unquote, debate.
Debate. For one thing, it wasn't really a debate. It was just Bill Nye and Ken Ham talking near each other for 2.5 hours is what it felt like. We were talking about this before. We're both kind of debate nerds. How did you feel about the way this went down?
What I said before was, you know, you're kind of, I think the thing that people would love to see is more of a CX debate.
Yeah.
Where they kind of just like go at each other and they try to rip each other's arguments apart. And instead, this was more of an LD debate and they presented their arguments next to each other. And
yeah.
So this doesn't get too inside baseball. Please clarify for those of us, hello, who don't know debate. What's CX and LD?
I don't know what CX means.
Cross-examination.
Cross-examination. Okay. I was in legal and parliamentary debate, which is Robert's Rules of Order and Horribleness. I also did
LD.
LD debate, which is Lincoln-Douglas debate, which is you're in a room talking at some a third party, which because this is a debate team in high school, there is no third party. And because who's going to sit through a debate meet and talking about who knows what? And that's what this felt like. It was just a bunch of people. It was dueling PowerPoint presentations.
It was almost as though they weren't even talking about the same subject.
I know.
Like it's two men standing up and very, very, very vigorously talking about different subjects.
Yeah. And Dave, you had some thinks on this one.
Well, it was interesting because I think that, you know, Bill Nye is one of my favorite people, and his scientific knowledge is incredible, and he's really great at communicating that. But Bill Nye is not a debater.
No.
Okay. We lost our great debater with Christopher Hitchens, and Bill Nye is never going to be able to debate like Christopher Hitchens. Debate is a strange sort of skill. It's you need to be able to be prepared with not only your own subject matter, but also you need to be prepared knowing what your opponent is going to say. And anytime they make a mistake, you need to be ready to pounce. And Bill Nye had no interest in pouncing.
Right.
And Ken Ham did nothing but leave openings all night long. This is 2.5 hours of loose logic, of nonsense things, of changing. How many times during this debate did Ken Ham try and change the definition of words because the definition that we all know doesn't fit his argument?
Right.
So he's trying to say things like, well, there's a difference between observational science, which is what you can do in a lab, and historical science, which makes assertions about the past that you can't prove. Well, no, there is no difference. Science is science is science. And evidence will lead you to very specific and very clear outcomes. But Ken Ham doesn't like those outcomes because they're different than what's in the Bible.
Well, I'm gonna level with you. I didn't really watch the debate until this morning, and I only watched, to be honest with you, about 40% of it because I just fell asleep.
Guilty. Yeah. Right here. It's. I didn't feel like I was gaining anything from watching it, and
I said earlier in the week, I said, shh, secret, don't want to watch the debate. And then somebody, you know, sort of questioned me on it, and I said, what I'm expecting from the show is Bill Nye to make cogent points, and then Ken Ham to point at the Bible and make noises the entire day, and that went
shocking.
Shared that's around because that's apparently exactly what happened.
Well, I mean, one of the things that finally turned me off to watching the rest, I just didn't feel like it was going to go anywhere or do anything for me, was whenever essentially the question that was posed was, will anything change your mind? And Nye's response was basically, evidence. If you give me evidence, I will change my response. And Ham's response was, no.
Yeah. And Bill Nye not only said evidence, but he's like, one piece of evidence. Just one thing that stands out. And that's all. I think it's the moment that the debate was lost by Ken Ham. Like,
right.
Well, that's the moment whenever I was just like, wow. So you're just in here to
talk talk at people. You're here for the publicity.
I came for the fruit.
I came for the fruit. I'm here for the free meals, the free drinks, and the interview with that CNN guy. So you were saying that Bill Nye isn't a particularly good debater,
right?
I can kind of agree, having done that a little bit with him. Except what you said, and I have to strongly agree with this. This is why I really like Bill Nye, is he's really good at communicating like the joy of discovery and of science and why this, and because everybody sees science as this dull, you know, except in our community, everybody thinks science like it's the movie from The Explorers where they go to see aliens. But there's a lot of work in science. There's a lot of, you have to repeat things a bunch of times to get points, but people discover things. The end result of that work is you are adding to the sum total of human knowledge. You are actually advancing civilization directly when you do that research, and I think he's really good at transmitting that. So you know, that was sort of side to all of this, but so he was a bad debater, but it sounds like he still won. So we're watching a kitten fight their way out of a wet paper bag here.
Yeah, well, you know, he did win, and it's very clear. If there was a poll on Christianity Today that asked who won the debate, and when I last checked, it was 15,000 votes, 92% for Bill Nye.
Wow.
And this is a Christian.
That's not very scientific.
It's not very scientific, but it does definitely make a point.
There is nothing scientific about debate, though. Debate is about science, and that brings us to
what I mean is that. You know, as soon as atheists get a hold of a poll like that, I know I would go and cast my vote.
Would Christian Today try and block that? Would Christian Today maybe favor votes from certain parts? You know, atheists are known to go bomb polls like that. On the other hand, Christian websites are known to doctor statistics. So which way does this go?
Yeah.
So I'm actually willing to go that most people thought that Bill Nye did better. But the fact is, Ken Ham is not particularly liked by anyone, as you were
not
telling,
even his own community.
Yeah,
there is a quote out there, and this was the most amazing thing, that Pat Robertson on the 700 Club basically went up and said, look, the evidence is out there, the world is millions of years old, just because some saint 300 years ago said that the world's 6,000 years old doesn't mean it is. You're embarrassing us. Stop.
Wow. I guess what they say about stopped bigots is true.
Well, and it's also that, like, if Pat Robertson's on the reasonable side of the argument, you've done something wrong.
Ask an atheist. 253-584-1480.
I wonder how Pat Robertson would take him being praised on an atheist show.
We've been trying to get Pat Robertson's attention for years, and if this is what does it, I would be very happy.
Well, and I do want to make the point that the problem with people, like, there's this group, Ken Ham, Ray Comfort, Kirk Cameron, who's the guy whose dad is in jail.
Eric Hovind. And Kent Hovind. Yeah.
Like, these guys, they have no problem lying. They have no problem making facts up. They have no problem doing anything they can to get their point across. And it was great to see Bill Nye, even if he wasn't calling Ken Ham out on the crap that he was piling on, he just stood there calmly and said, no, here's the facts. No, here's the facts. No, here's the facts.
But, okay, here's where we get down to it. I was listening to the social media, as you do, and what I was hearing a lot of people say was, Bill Nye shouldn't have done this. Bill Nye, we don't need to give those people credibility. There's no reason we need to do this. The room was stacked against him. I disagree almost categorically with those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having been, you know, I used to be somebody who would say stuff like that, but now that I'm on the other side of the microphone, as you say, I see things really differently, and I think this was a real win for Bill Nye. I mean, on almost all
levels. Well, for the kind of people who are riding the fence, who aren't sure or are looking for information, because not everybody who's an atheist knows they're an atheist.
Right.
Not everybody who is an atheist is out or are confident or anything like that. So they're going to be looking at these kinds of things and looking at the presentation. And it's pretty clear that if you're on the side of science and evidence and stuff like that, it's nice to see these kinds of arguments and see the science behind it and have those to, you know, look at and respond to. Like, it might not do much for my life at this point,
right,
but there are many, many, many people that this could benefit.
But we are not the audience, because we've heard all of these arguments, both from Bill Nye and from Ken Ham, who I would like to point out, his beard looks much better in this debate. It doesn't look like a face infection at all. He is aging very well. But we've all heard all of these arguments because this is what we do. This is how we choose to pass our time, is to pay attention to these things. Me especially, me with my propaganda library at home, with my Gish books on the top of my toilet. Yeah, this is what I pay attention to, but this wasn't for us. We were not the target audience, and I'll go you one further. The creationists were not the target audience either.
It's the people on the fence. And I would
all four of them.
And I would say that I think it's Ken or Bill Nye is the perfect person to do this debate, because I feel there is some merit to Richard Dawkins saying he doesn't want to give the oxygen of respectability to people like Ken Ham.
Yeah.
And to have our PhD scientist, you know, the very top of the class type person to go debate Ken Ham would only lower Dawkins. But Bill Nye, he is an ex-Boeing employee and stand-up comedian who just really likes science.
Yeah.
He's the guy who can stand up and say, no, I don't even have a PhD, and I know how wrong you are.
Yeah.
So he's the guy who can get away with that.
And that's one of the things that I like, too, is he's one of the people who shows you that you don't need... I mean, he has a stack of degrees. Let's not lie. But he's not known to be... He's not known to be a professor. He's not known to... He does science specials, and he's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an engineer. And he went to a school I really wanted to go to. I could go on. You know, so it's the nice thing where you don't need to have a string of degrees to actually encounter with these people. There's a nearly apocryphal story. No, it's not nearly, but it's nearly legendary. It's a near legend of the, like, when I just moved here up to Seattle, and Case up at Seattle Skeptics had a bunch of young Earth creationists meet the Skeptics group, and I got up there and they had a beer on sale, so I was having a good time, and they get up and they go, my name is I think one of them was his name is actually John Johnson, and so I was like, wow, that's totally a Blazing Saddles thing. and they start listing all of the degrees they have, and all of their basically arguments from academic authority, and then Q&A time, I stand up and I go, hi, my name's Sam Mulvey, and I'm a high school dropout, and then I apparently proceeded to wipe the floor with them, and I didn't realize until the end of it, but this was the first time my mother-in-law saw me not at a family gathering.
Oh, nice.
And she's not an atheist. And she didn't kill me, so I guess it worked out. I don't know.
Nice. No, and it's Bill Nye is an amazing individual, because it's like you could see last week on the show you had the interview with him, and
yeah.
you did that interview after he came off of an exhausting tour, and he just came off stage, and his leg's broken from Dancing with the Stars, and he has every reason to be exhausted. But yeah. once you get in the topics of science, the passion just came through. He is so excited. You could wake him up at 2 in the morning and say, tell me about biodiversity, and he would just jump on it.
Yeah. Well, I was really excited to find out that he was the executive director for the Planetary Society. Yeah. I didn't know that, and I love the Planetary Society, so it was an opportunity to talk about that. And that was like we were, and Becky and Wes, who were in the room, was like, "Yeah, you guys were just totally nerding out over space stuff. It was really fun." And then the whole GMO thing,
yeah, happened,
which made me really sad. And
that was the only part of it that I caught at all. I was in the car and I.
Oh, man. I have a comment from our website. This is from, I think, Francois. He wrote, I thought this episode was delicious. When I point out your arguments against GMO labeling are not good, but he used a slightly worse word, you treat me like excrement. When Bill Nye argues with you about you, you politely change the subject. How does it feel to be made to eat crow from Bill Nye GMO tards?
Wow.
And my response was, think using words like GMO tards might have something to do with it?
Yeah.
And the thing is, and I noticed that is I was worried about that when I did that, because this just fell out of me on Earth. I thought we were going to talk about Planetary Society, we're going to talk about geoengineering, which I thought was really cool stuff, and then, because it's the middle of the labeling law fiasco, and then in the middle, he just supports the labeling law because of fish genes and tomatoes, and I'm like, no, don't do this to me. It was surprising. And I you know, maybe I could have been more forthright in my debate, but that wasn't what I was thinking.
Maybe it's just not a subject that he's...
Well, and that's what I'm thinking about is...
Because not every scientist has just studied everything.
Exactly. And that's a big flaw in the arguments of people like Ken Ham. Because throughout his talk, he just had a bunch of people on stage...
Well, scientists are specialists.
Yeah. It's like, this scientist doesn't believe in evolution. This scientist doesn't believe in evolution. But they're not biologists, most of them. And the ones that are biologists have been... fairly thoroughly debunked about their theories about creationism. So what
right.
does that
peer-reviewed
even mean?
Science.
Yeah.
That is what you
yeah.
present. Peer-reviewed science.
It's the idea of I broke my toe, so I go to a hairdresser, you know, or my hair is a huge knot, so I go to a surgeon. No, you don't do those things. You go yeah. to the people who are studying it, not because they have the authority of a degree, but because they study it.
And one of my favorite little things is there was a list put out by Creationist Ministries International of scientists and PhDs who believe in creationism. And there are people like plastic surgeons yeah. and philosophers and mathematicians and people who have nothing to do with any field that would relate to evolution.
Yeah.
So the Society for Science Education, Institute for Science Education, put together what they called the Steve List. It was a list of PhDs who have fields that directly impact evolution or evolutionary biology, and only scientists named Steve.
And if I remember right, it's larger than that other list?
Yes, the Creationist Ministries International list is 220 names long, I believe, and the Steve list is 1,300 names long so far.
Fantastic. But what I was going to say about the GMO thing was, I would love the chance to actually talk about specifically GMOs with Bill Nye if he deigns to notice us again, I guess. I'd love that opportunity. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about this and answer some really, really fun emails.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com, where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide $1 billion in your locker.
Wow, $1 billion?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful it cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul, save the universe!
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Root.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics.
And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing.
On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you.
Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And I want to talk to you guys about the way Ken Ham, in that debate with Bill Nye, tried to make science into two different things.
Oh, this is just... Oh, it hurt my brain to watch this.
Observational science versus historical science? Is that what that was?
Basically, it's his sort of sciency-sounding words to say, you weren't there, there's no way you could know.
Yeah. 'Cause
any evidence that goes back to his own... has something of his own perception doesn't count, apparently.
Right.
Like, I would challenge Ken Ham. It's like, do you know the Civil War happened? You weren't there.
Well, I know. I was just thinking, was your mother ever born?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know.
I mean, sure, she existed. That, you saw her, but...
That, I like, that is new. I've not heard that one before. I like that. That's good. I'm stealing that. But are we seeing, we had intelligent design, then we had teach the controversy. Is the two types of observational versus historical science, is that the newest movement, digestive movement we're seeing from the creationist side of the fence?
I don't think so. I think this is something that Ken Ham has always been pushing. It's just nobody's really listened to it before because it's so patently absurd.
Yeah.
So it's just something that got buried in the Answers in Genesis website somewhere.
Got it.
It might be taken that way now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. And I said this was a really big win for Bill Nye, and a lot of atheists are saying, why are we entreating with these people? And let me say why I think this is a win. We're talking about Bill Nye. Bill Nye was on CNN talking about evolution. The fact is, throughout a lot of America, in places like rural Louisiana, where they put isn't it amazing what the blank has made on their science pop
tests.
Quizzes? Yeah, we are not the people who are deciding who has credibility and who doesn't have credibility. In those circles, Ken Ham is the person who has the credibility. It's not us.
Mm-hmm.
Scientific credibility is not social credibility. If all you are concerned with is science, then stay in the lab. Stay in the peer-reviewed community. Those are important things. But if we want, like, if we want good laws to be written in a democratic nation, like the United States, maybe, the people who are not scientists need to know what is going on. And the evolution and creationism debate, unfortunately, in the United States, and frankly, not many other places in the Anglophone world, this debate is still going on, and I think Bill Nye did a really good job of shining light on it and showing how shallow the other side's arguments are.
He did, and it's one of the important things. You need that bridge from the hard scientists. You need the sort of ambassadors who can teach everyone else. Your Bill Nyes, your Neil deGrasse Tysons, your Carl Sagans,
right?
Those people who can communicate science to the public are really important. They are key people for us.
I'm kind of wondering, and you guys can give me your opinion on this, but in geek culture, science it hasn't always been a big deal, but it's becoming more of a big deal. People talking about science, people saying they love science. So starting with Bill Nye on Dancing with the Stars and everybody remembering how much they love Bill Nye the Science Guy, and then this debate with Ken Ham, and then with the rebooted Cosmos coming out this year,
I can't wait.
Are we seeing sort of this love of science in geek culture being mainlined? Are we going to start seeing a sort of a pro-science social media movement here?
I would say yeah. I would say there's definitely something to that.
I agree with that. I don't know necessarily if there's ever been a point whenever it wasn't.
You see, the whole science, love of science thing is to me kind of new.
Maybe I'm just in the wrong.
Maybe. Well, yeah. That's the thing. Is
I mean, you know, I have a child, and so I'm used to they might be giants, and you know, that's been around for a few years, and you know, singing about the elements and things like that. You know, or even the Animaniacs singing the element. I mean, you know, that was fun.
There's always been an undercurrent.
You mean like actual?
But I'm wondering if it's going to become not just an undercurrent anymore, and might become a mainstream thing.
I'd love that.
I think it would be nice. I think it's kind of unlikely, but if it were to happen, it feels like this would be the environment in which it happens.
And this is the environment, and it's also a question of the people involved, because you have people like Neil deGrasse Tyson working with...
Who doesn't love that guy?
Yeah, no kidding.
And Seth...
Well, I have my problems, but...
Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
The guy who does Family Guy, he's the one developing Cosmos. He's the one who put that together.
He's been working on it for years. Yeah. And here's the thing. I hate the Family... I'm going to lose so many friends over this. I hate the Family Guy. I hate American Dad. Can't stand any of those shows. Anytime Seth MacFarlane has an interview, I read it. I listen to it.
He's
fascinating. Funny and fascinating and awesome, and I just feel like with those TV shows, I'm seeing him trying to make jokes for other people, and that's part of what's really gearing me up for Cosmos. Is this going to be the Seth MacFarlane I read in interviews? Because that's going to be great.
Yeah.
So we have some really fun emails, and we must mention that today is Darwin Day for Seattle Atheists. They're up at the 2100 building, and we have an email from Space Chief from Northwest Ohio, and he says he just happened to be listening to an old episode, Season 3, Episode 7.
Season 3,
that's a bit ago, wherein you discuss Pete Stark's attempt to get Darwin recognized. It was mentioned that some complained about Congress wasting time. In case you haven't seen it, check out this lame maneuver to pass a resolution to ensure Christ stating Christmas. The nerve. Great show, just found it the other day while procrastinating. He gave us a govtrack.us link to House Resolution 448. I'm a little surprised we didn't talk about it, because this is the synopsis. Expressing the sense of House of Representatives that the symbols and traditions of Christmas should be protected for use by those who celebrate Christmas. This was brought by Representative Doug Lamborn, who's a Republican from Colorado. It had 36 co-sponsors, including 2 Democrats, and I'm pretty sure the other 34 sponsors were not independents. I think we can figure out where they come from. So not much to talk about there. It died in committee, fortunately. But yeah, wasting time. Correct.
It's just one of those, and Republicans usually love to do this, solving a problem that isn't actually a problem. Yeah. I need to protect the rights of Christians to be Christian, because those are under attack.
Well, I mean, it kind of reminds me in some ways of whenever people try to legislate against like Sharia law, whenever they try to bring in one specific group or protect one group instead of making it a more broad language.
Yeah.
Such, you know, if they were to say, you know, symbols of religion, and then why are they saying it?
Well,
because
it's,
that's protected under free speech.
It's like that can't use partial quotes law. They're trying to prevent something specific happening with a broad law. So we have another email. This is Sharon from Maine. What would you say to a Christian who, after finding out you don't believe in God, asks you, well, where do you think you came from? I'm going to go down the line. Becca.
Oh, that's a complicated response. I mean, okay, where do I think I came from?
Yeah.
So, if I'm being honest, I would probably say, you know, there are a lot of, there's matter in the universe. At some point, the particles that my body are comprised of were in other objects. I'm not sure what they were.
Hmm.
you know, I mean, I would go really sciencey on it.
Okay. And how would you go?
I came from molecules.
Molecules.
How could I know I wasn't there?
Oh, I'd just say Chicago. I'm cheap. I am real cheap on that stuff. Where do you think you came from?
I eat food, and then my body got bigger.
Food happened.
Dave Brulette. My mother's. Dave Brulette, produced by Mr. and Mrs. Brulette.
Well done. Okay, we have another email. This is Henry from the United States of America. Thanks for being specific there. A concrete evidence of proof. My question is simple, and I don't want any atheist answering my question with another question. Please, what proof or evidence that atheistism is accurate or correct? It is that simple. Thank you. My answer? What?
That's a question.
You guys.
What atheistism? So, Dave, tell me about your opinion on atheistism.
I would love to see a good definition on atheistism because I have not seen one, and it's tough to prove a point when you can't even define it.
How about you, Becca?
You know, there. I'm going to pretend that it says atheism.
Oh, why would you do that?
Come on,
it clearly says atheistism.
At heart. All right.
I will bend my mind.
This
and
poor
stretch
child.
It as far as I can.
He's just trying to ask a simple question.
All right. How would you answer that?
I guess I would say that there's no proof to the contrary. You need to prove something to me for me to be able to believe it. If you were to say there's a table behind me, and you knocked on it and let me feel it and everything, there's the table. Great. Yeah. But if you say there's a table behind me and I turn around there's no table, I'll say, well, I just don't believe that.
Well, I will drag out.
Absolute
assuming,
lack of proof.
I'm going to take your completely unfounded statement that he said atheistism and meant atheism. I'm just going to go with that. That's unproven. But I'm going to go with it.
We're going to pretend.
Yeah. And I'm going to drag out an old Ask an Atheist chestnut on this. Agnosticism is our statement of knowledge. Atheism is our statement of belief.
Mm-hmm.
We believe, we act, and we believe that there is no God. Our knowledge has no information about the existence or lack of existence of God. However, personally, I take it a little farther. The universe works like there isn't anybody at the controls. It looks like there isn't anything defining, making sure that this happens. It looks like there isn't some guy in the sky with some pie, other words, hi. I probably worked that in there somewhere.
Right, the way that math and science work look like they're based on just rules.
Yeah,
and everything. It's like, what is the fundamental difference? The anti-ham argument that evolution is true, but it's God guides it.
Yeah.
What is the fundamental difference between God guiding evolution and evolution guiding itself?
Right. It's amazing how much how suddenly every time we discover something about the universe, not just listen to old guys who were just making things up, but when we discover something about the universe, how suddenly it's God who's at the controls of that thing. And it's,
well, anytime that you can't prove what's going on, then you just say magic.
Yeah. You can't see my hand waving, but I'm doing it. And that's what it is. But I even go even further than that, and I will say, if you are a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu or anything, I think it's actually possible to prove that your God doesn't exist. I think that is a provable
Absolutely.
Thing. Is there a creator of the universe? Can't say. Haven't seen the whole universe. Haven't looked at the tag that says it can't be removed
what
except by
the consumer.
What
was before the Big Bang?
Yeah,
not
what
sure.
was before the Bang? No. Don't really care. But I'm reasonably certain that we can prove, and I'm actually starting to put those arguments together, that you know, the Christian God doesn't exist. Right. Because the Christian...
any God that gives a crap about what's happening on Earth.
There's a bill of particulars about what this God does, how this God acts, how the world is supposed to work when you don't go to the menstrual hut, things like that, that don't happen. So we have real proof that these that when these things don't happen on a statistical basis, we're not just talking about statistical, like one time out of ten it doesn't happen. No, these things do not happen. That I think we can prove that kind of God doesn't exist. And then you go forth, and one of the things going on social media that I really like is that map of the U.S., or no, the world, is that tiny little circle. Everything in the Bible happened in this tiny circle.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
then you see that, and then you look at the size of the Earth, and then you see the pale blue dot picture, and then you see the most recent picture of the Earth and the Moon from the Curiosity
that
rover.
That can't even be proven.
Yeah, none of that can be proven. Were you there? Were you on Mars?
I wasn't
yeah,
on Mars.
Were you hanging out with Voyager?
Yeah.
Yeah, having martinis on the... yeah, okay.
The other side of this is, when it comes down to, as Henry is asking, it's like, it's not our place to prove our point.
Right.
It's, you know, you have to... The burden of proof is the person who's making the claim, and your claim is that there is a God, therefore you have to prove it.
Right.
One of the things I love, and this the internet is so great for this, there is a Twitter account called Tweet of God. And he got in an argument with a Christian. The Christian was basically saying, you're a heretic and you're not God and everything, and he was saying, prove I'm not God. You don't know I'm not God. How could you possibly know I'm not God? Maybe I'm God and this is my Twitter account. And he actually got the creationist to say, it's not my place to prove you're not, it's your place to prove you are.
Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum, boing. Wow. But here's the thing. Specifically saying that there is no God and we know that there is no God, that's a positive claim. That is an informational claim that we would need to prove. But that's at least not what I'm saying. I'm saying what I believe is that there is no God. It's not faith, because I'd be willing to change on it, then give me evidence and I will change. But my knowledge is that I don't know one way or another. My knowledge is that your God doesn't exist. But that's it. So I don't know where to take it from there, to be honest with you. Is that a good... I didn't ask any questions. Did we ask any actual questions other than what for this one?
I don't believe so. I think we did pretty good not...
Okay.
Not so, bouncing it back to him.
Yeah, I'm glad we dragged that one out. Oh, we haven't done that one. Why nothing instead of something? You really need to do the core ones every once and again. You know, every once in a while.
You gotta play the hits.
You gotta play the hits. Yeah, you gotta drag out Super Freak every 6 weeks. And that's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me was Dave Roulette and Rebecca Vitzman. We are going to be at Doyle's in an hour. Come have a drink with us. You can go to askanatheist.tv. Give us a voicemail, 206-420-0997, or email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. See you guys next week.
Clay Radio, your conversation station. KLAY Liquid Tacoma.